we had one flight left to work on that trip. We had just landed in Jacksonville, Florida, about 9:30 in the morning, and that's when we first heard that there was something going on in New York. But like most people, just believed it was something on a much smaller scale. Mm-hmm. And it was only when I went to get the paperwork for the outbound flight that the agent mentioned that one of the aircraft was an American Airlines 767. And when he said that, first of all, it seemed incomprehensible to me at first, but mm-hmm. I then immediately knew that everything had suddenly changed. The industry that I had known and loved since I was a child was changed forever. And it just, you know, as the day went on, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
We can only imagine the thoughts that were going through your mind. And you had some friends that were also flight attendants as well. What were they thinking?
Oh, sure, lots of friends. You know, when we first, so we boarded that airplane to come back to Atlanta. And mm-hmm. we were all kind of like, what's going on? Like, we still didn't know the scope of mm-hmm. what had happened. We knew that commercial airlines were involved. We knew there were these two incidents in New York. We heard there was something going on in D.C. And as the passengers boarded, and the flight wasn't full, this was before smartphones and everything, but people knew that something was going on. And you could just tell there was a pretty somber tone.
Yeah.
And so the other flight attendants and I were all kind of gathered in the galley, kind of like, what the hell is going on? And so... And like I said, the flight wasn't full, maybe half full, like most flights back then on a Tuesday morning in the fall. But the captain came on and said that there was they were stopping inbound international arrivals. And so they had that right now that wasn't affecting us, but they'd monitored the situation before we departed. And so I went up to the flight deck to ask a couple of questions about that time. The FO, the first officer, said, they're shutting down air traffic control across the country. Let's go ahead and get everybody off the airplane. And so when I made the announcement that we were going to be delayed indefinitely. You know, typically when a flight attendant makes that announcement, it's mostly groans and when are we going to leave? And, you know, nobody said a word. Everybody just got their carry-ons and kind of like quietly walked off the airplane. And
wow.
There was just this like communal sense of dread. And I think there was a little bit of relief. I think some people were nervous about what had happened. Mm. And mm-hmm. they didn't know, you know, we were in the middle of this thing. We didn't know when this was going to end. And it was only as the day went on and we got to the hotel and we started to talk with other airline crew members. There were three airlines staying in that hotel and with multiple crews. And I remember us all spending the whole morning just watching the TVs and just kind of sharing our different stories. And there was a U.S. air crew that was inbound from Philadelphia to Fort Lauderdale. And the captain had called their lead flight attendant up and said, hey, we don't know what's going on. Airplanes are being hijacked around the country. They want us to land. We're going to go to Jacksonville, but we're not going to tell the passengers. We're just going to tell them we're going to be really early into Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. And this is before you had a lot of flight tracking on airplanes.
Yeah.
And so that's what they did. The lead went back there. She said, you know, I just went back to the aft galley and told the other flight attendants, we're going to Jacksonville. Don't tell the passengers. This is what's going on. It was only once they landed in Jacksonville, people like, hey, this isn't Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
That they told them that there was something going on. And it was those kinds of stories over and over again. And as the week went on in Jacksonville, we all kind of just sat around the pool thinking, what the hell? This is so surreal.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of discussion of what comes next. Are airlines going to survive this? And are we going to be going back to flying anytime soon? There was a lot of fear for our jobs. There was a lot of fear for the nation. There was mm-hmm. fear for once we were back on the airplanes, what was going to happen? You know, the industry, in my lifetime, I started working for an airline when I was 19 on the ground. And then 5 years later, I became a flight attendant. In the 25 years that I was a flight attendant, I look back at 9/11 as the day that it really just kind of started to change forever, and it just never got better again. It was never as much fun as it was before that. And I think though, it changed the way the crew members approach their jobs mm-hmm. in so many ways. Because, and I don't want to speak for other work groups, but you know, the flight attendant role up until 9/11 was always this kind of weird marriage of safety and service. You know, we're here to serve, we're here to please, we're here to make your flight more comfortable, but we're also here to make sure that it's a safe flight. And so our jobs were making sure that, you know, we have all the right meals and make sure that everybody was served in an appropriate manner and time and be pleasant, professional. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, you know, I hope I don't have to deal with a medical emergency, or gosh forbid, there's a fire on board that I have to put out, or there's something worse. But suddenly it was also this, now we've also got to worry about us or our passengers being murdered in the air. Mm-hmm. And that just changed your mentality that fast. And suddenly, and especially in those weeks and months after 9/11, before we were getting a lot of directives from the FAA and our airlines, mm-hmm. we were kind of trying to figure it out. You know, do I keep a hot pot of coffee brewed at all times to throw on somebody? Do I grab a fire extinguisher and use it as a weapon? It's just, and that was something so new. And you know, for a work group that's not, it doesn't usually work in that mentality. It took a long time to kind of come to terms with how you add that to your job list.
That's so crazy. And in hearing you say that, what encouraged you to stay a flight attendant, especially after all that?
Well, you know, I was one of those that always kind of had a passion for aviation long before I worked in it. But I mean, the job is one that once it's in your blood, it's very difficult to get away from it. I think most people that work in the airline industry will tell you that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like most Americans, I think there was a certain amount of resolve after 9/11. Like, by God, we're not going to be terrified out of our jobs because of this.
Of course.
Some people told me, flight attendants did say, you know what, this is not what I signed up for, and left. But mm-hmm. I think overwhelmingly the majority of flight attendants just kind of said, you know, look, we'll take this on, and more with it. Now, it wasn't easy, but we did. And there was, and it also, you know, when you suddenly had to suspect your own passengers and kind of keep an eye on people and behaviors, and it resulted in a lot of missteps mm-hmm. over the years where, you know, and you saw, I worked with some flight attendants who they saw a hijacker on every flight, it seemed.
Right.
Like, what's that guy 14 up doing?
Yeah.
And so we kind of had to work together to kind of calm one another down and be like, you know, is it somebody who's just a nervous flyer, or is this something that we need to keep an eye on? I found a knife in a bag of sugar packet in the galley.
What?
And I know. And it was actually like a broken off blade from what looked like had been a steak knife, and it was stuck down in a bag of sugar packets. Mm. And immediately, like all the hair on my body just stood on end, like I'd been hit with electricity.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I called the flight deck and I said, I just found a knife in the forward galley sugar packet. Captain said, well, why don't you bring it up here? We'll keep it on the flight deck. And it turned out it was nothing more than an employee on the ground when they were filling the sugar packets. They were using this knife to open up the boxes of sugar packets. So that blade had snapped off, and then they had stuck all these sugar packets in one of the bags, and that blade went in there. But, you know, for a week afterwards, I was like, oh, God, now they're trying to hide knives in the sugar.
Yeah.
And it was like that for a long time.
That is so crazy. And, it's not something, you know, you think about every day, especially what you all had to experience after 9/11. And it's so interesting to hear your story. And we really appreciate you coming on and sharing that with us, especially, you know, right before the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course, anytime. I could listen to you talk all day. my stepmom was a flight attendant, and she wrote a book about it. It's pretty funny. So I know that you guys go through a lot, and appreciate everything you do.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm certain my colleagues would be happy to hear that.